Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is Mama Seven, and I want to welcome you to a wonderful Approach Radio. Oh, my goodness. It has been a day. It's Wednesday, so we're not surprised, but my goodness. We had a tropical storm, decided that she wasn't getting enough attention, so she ramped herself up to a hurricane category 2. I was like, okay now. And has taken everyone by surprise and is just running amok in South Florida, Alabama, just doing what she wants to do. And that's what hurricanes do. I keep telling y'all, stop naming these hurricanes after female names. You know, they get the attitude and then that's it. You can't do nothing with it. So, but I wanted just to welcome everyone to that is surviving, everyone that's dry, because right now dry is relative. There is a lot of rain and water here. So everyone, please keep safe in the middle of all this, okay? Check on your people, Alabama, South Georgia, part of the panhandle in Florida. Check on them. We up under something. We going through some things. So let's check on each other and care about each other. And I tell everybody, look, if you have a situation, let me know. I got some extra rice. You know, I can find a bed. We got resources. Don't let them think that our community don't have resources and we ain't there for each other. We absolutely are. So just stay safe as much as possible. Oh, it is Wednesday. It is our fast day. I pray that everyone was able to maintain their fast in the middle of all this good stuff. Fast days are important, family. Don't underestimate them. They can be quite challenging. They can sneak up on you and challenge you, just like this Hurricane Sally. But pay attention for your fast. I find the fast that I plan for tend to be the easier ones. When I go to bed on Tuesday, knowing I'll be up before the crack of dawn to get breakfast in, to make prayers and everything, I find those days to be a little bit easier to manage. You know, God woke me up this morning, and it felt like he woke me up himself personally. No angels involved. I was on it. I felt a lot of energy, actually a lot of positive energy. And that's always encouraging, a little surprising at times, but it was so encouraging this morning to be, you know, to feel the shower of positivity, to know that we're still going to be all right, to know that, you know, hey, this is just a little hiccup in the road. Keep pushing, keep working, keep building. And that's exactly what I did. You know, spirit was, you know, everyone has to make their prayers. Everybody pray. Pray, everybody. Pray, pray, pray. And I was like, okay, well, let's get this started. And true to form, I started it, and my people followed right up with it. There were so many positive remarks, people calling in, people letting me know, hey, I hear you, I feel you. We're here, we're making prayers, we're putting up positivity. And so it was one of those really, really good mornings in the middle of all the other stuff going on. It was still a great morning. And I give thanks for that. You know, I think when you find, when you can have gratitude in your heart, on your mind, on your lips constantly, it makes it easier to recognize and to stay in that grateful state than when if you don't do that, you know. So keep your eyes open for all of the cute little miracles that are going on in your neighborhood and your neck of the woods, and let's just keep building from that. Okay, family? I want to shout out to my nurse and shout out to the sister being nursed. You know, look, God is good all the time, and things are being worked out in our favor before we even know it. So, you know, for all of those that are feeling some sort of way and going through some things, I just, even before we get started with the show, I just have to let you know, trouble don't last always. Do not let it get a grip on you, okay? Really important right there. Do not let negativity place of comfort in your home. And this is why this topic kind of is coming up. We have to be able to spiritually protect our families. You know, what I have found in most families, it may be one person that's leaning more on the spiritual and religious ideas, and that's fine. That's okay. But we have, everybody has to play their part in creating, maintaining, and protecting the religious, spiritual understandings of that home. Everyone has a role to play. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, how to spiritually protect your family. And when I say we're going to talk about it, I mean go get your pen and paper. You know, let's talk about some things that work. And then, you know, a wonderful approach is real. We talk about real things. We also got to talk about what doesn't work, okay? Where I am that person. You may call in and share whatever opinion, whatever side you have. But, you know, we really need to get to the bottom of what's going on, okay? So that's where we are today. Last week was such an awesome show. Last week we spoke about revisiting the toolbox. If you got a chance to listen to it live, you know what I'm talking about. I could feel the electricity in the show, you know? If you want to listen to the show, you didn't get a chance to hear it when we were doing it live, you can always go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page or awonderfulapproach.com and listen to the shows there. Oh, my goodness. It was wonderful because we really got an opportunity to see, hey, part of the toolbox we need. This is the part of the toolbox that we got to strengthen. Then there's some things we need to replace. We've used them. They were good, but we've gotten away from the practice. We got to get back into it. So it was an excellent, excellent show. It was a lot of good, positive information. And then I love the part where it was like, okay, not only what do we need to put in the toolbox, we had to talk about what needs to come out of the toolbox. The ego, the jealousies, the fear, you know, we really gave a real hard, honest list of all the things that don't serve the toolbox. All they're there to do is attract ants and weigh it down, okay? So really, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the show, or if you listened to the show and you did not make some adjustments to how you think and how you feel, I'm going to ask you to listen to it again. Because it 100% inspired me to make some adjustments as to what I want to carry around with me in my toolbox and what tools I needed to upgrade. I had some tools, my old faithfuls, and some of them were faithful and some were not, you know. And so it was a good exercise for me to stop and say, okay, look, this needs to change, that needs to change. All right. So today we're going to be talking about spiritual protection. This is very, very, very important. When I started I have been working in a spiritual sense, let me see, my youngest, 14, I'm going to say for the past 13 years, right? About 14 years. So last 13, 14 years, working, studying, practicing, paying dues, working with other organizations, it's been an active progression, okay? But when I started, my entire focus was spiritual protection. And the reason why that was the focus and why I thought it was so very important is because I was like, man, if you steady up here taking blows, steady up here struggling in life, how in the world are you supposed to open yourself up like a flower and really dig deep and get to spend comfortable time with your ancestors when you are fighting negativity, when you are constantly entrenched in battle? How do you find the time to work on your breathing skills or anything like that? And I was like, you know, one thing we really got to get a good grip on is we have to get this protection going. And so there's been, we do shows on protection because it's that important. Before you can even really get deep into your spiritual studies, you have to learn how to protect yourself from negativity. And the reason why, of course, is because negativity would love to take you off your path. They just want to distract you. So if they're busy distracting you, then you're not going to be able to grow. You're not going to be able to just bloom and feel comfortable in that. So this is why we have to learn how to put that spiritual protection in place. Even as we're just beginning our practice, got to be protected because that negativity is looking for you. You know, the second you start putting up that positive light, hey, I'm growing, I'm building, I'm this, I'm that. The second you start doing that, I promise you, negativity is going to try to get a little trick on you. The second that you start saying, okay, I'm in a good place, I'm in a good space, I'm ready for this, negativity has another plan for you. So that's why we have to work so hard against it. And everyone has a role to play. Everyone. So, you know, don't think, oh, well, they're just a child. Children can be chaotic. Children, if not monitored properly, can bring the world right into your living room on their shoulders, on their back, things they've heard in class. You know, their little feelings and attitudes, even though we as adults may not see the full validity of it, is real to them. And so we have to help them understand why they need protection and how to keep them from bringing the chaos right into your house. Okay? So we're going to, like I say, don't pull punches. We got to talk about how we can do this. Sometimes some of the people closest to us can be the biggest drain of our positivity. It's horrible to even think about, but it's true. It is true. That's why we have to learn how to be positive no matter what. We have to learn how to really, and I'm gonna show you how to do it. I don't just talk about things I tell you about. We do education here, and I'm learning and teaching at the same time. If you're ever around someone who's not learning and teaching or teaching and learning, then you really shouldn't be listening to them, okay? So like I say, my ears are closest to my mouth. I'm sharing and having an open dialogue, but I'm also listening. We have to begin and know how to shut negative people out, period. Know when the conversation has expired and everything else, everything after that is an argument that you're participating in. No. We got to work on that. We have to work on how, and these are our loved ones. We're not talking about, you know, Karen in the street. You know, we're not talking about just a stranger who doesn't have any influence or impact on us. We're talking about loved ones. How do I help not being impacted or feeling a certain way because I have a loved one that's really going through their own stuff? So we have to really talk about this spiritual protection, because if we're not careful, that close relationship can be as detrimental as going outside and rolling in the mud, okay? I'm going to suggest that you not do that. So we have to talk about spiritual protection. We have to talk about the roles to play. And we have to talk about once the negativity is there, once we have accidentally somehow got into the house, how do we get it out the house? How do we get our own good positive vibes back into the home? So that's the show for today. And that is something, you know, I want people as we go through this, because this is a collective. You know, the lines are always open. You can press one. You can join the conversation. But as we go through this, I don't want you to feel any kind of way because a situation is in your house or things have gone too far here or there or whatever. Don't feel a kind of way about it. because it happens. Now, what we have to do is be able to identify it and then know how to get it out your house. That's the only thing. So, you know, we're not even going to come here and play a blame game. We're not going to, you know, that's not the point of this conversation. The point of this conversation is to let us know that we have to protect our whole family, not just ourselves, not just the adults, even our fur babies, even our animal friends play a role in maintaining positivity in our households. It's true. So I just want to spend some time setting the show up. I want you to understand what we're here to do, okay? All right, so why does the home need protection? Outside of work, home is one of the biggest places that's where we spend the most time, except for me. I spend the majority of my time in my car, as everyone who knows me knows. I live in that car on the highway. And so, but that car has to be my home. And so I call my passenger seat the office, and I got tons of everything I could possibly want because it's my space. But I also have my spiritual tools right there in my car because I spend so much time in the car. I don't go far without my tools. I don't go far without my Florida water. I don't go far without those implements that I know can help me, because I know in this car, as I'm battling the elements, the truck drivers, the fatigue, as I'm trying to stay focused on the road, as I'm doing 1,001 things at once, I know that I have to remain in this positive state, because it only takes 1 second for somebody to cut you off, and then what happens? Road rage. We're yelling and we're fussing and we're cussing, and someone cutting you off, depending on your temperament, that can last an hour, 2 hours. Are you really going to give a stranger 2 hours? Really? So, you know, we have to stop and think about spiritual protection. We have to stop and think about how much power we're allowing other energies that are not good for us. So I remember there was a time, and I have always driven a lot for this work, that work, fun, whatever. I travel. So when I see someone speeding, I'm like, whew, I hope they make it to their destination safely. This is my way of not having a curse follow them, because I don't really know what's going on in their car. Somebody could be trying to give birth in the car. You could have a new driver in the car. I got new drivers. Lord, please forgive them for everyone that they've cut off, because Solomon, okay. But so I have this habit, you know, I hope they get to where they're going safely. That doesn't hurt me at all. But it may provide a covering for them. I can wish them well on their way. So we have to get to the point where we are seeing all these opportunities for negativity to creep in, and we're fighting them. And we're going to talk about tools to fight them too. But I got a caller that would like to speak, and I always love to hear from my callers. I have the best callers. Why? Because I know a lot of them. I feel so privileged to know them. And I'm always very, very impressed about what is they're thinking about, what angle they're going to take. So I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. So I'm going to go to the call real quick. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. It's Melissa. How are you?
This is Melissa. I am well. Trying to dry off, yes, but I'm okay. How are you?
We haven't gotten the waters yet, so we're still enjoying beautiful weather.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, so this particular conversation, first of all, you're going to touch on the things that I wanted to speak on. When you mentioned the fur baby, because that's when I hit one, before you even said that, and then you said that, and I was like, that's what I'm talking about. And then the home. And also, yes, as a reminder of our text conversation that we had about sending me some, you know, some things for my protection, yes, at home. Don't forget me. Okay.
Yes.
Now, I was thinking about last week's show and the toolbox, and
yes, ma'am.
We all have all these different ways of you know, getting our tools together. We have all these different variety of tools, and so here's some other ones that will help us on a spiritual protection. The crystals and the stones we wear on our skin and the places
yes.
that we wear them. You also have the air, if you want to do smudging, and to use that as a barrier to get into the crevices of places that you can't reach to try to cleanse that. My kitty is a sick kitty right
mm-hmm.
now, and there's been a lot of activity going on, and I am in the process of trying to get him all healed, so I've been praying, asking for my spirit guides to work on this kitty, and so he's doing okay, but he needs some help. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
I've been coming to his rescue knowing he's here to be here for my rescue, so we've been looking out
Amen.
For each other.
That's
and
right.
so when you said fur baby, I was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Also, your awareness of what is going on around you is also protection. Lately, I've been sighting a lot of different critters, and
mm-hmm.
I'm looking up the information to find out what's going on. There is... Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to protect yourself.
Absolutely.
Knowing your worth, standing your ground, not giving in, and knowing, like you said, that this too shall pass.
Yes.
And praying throughout the ordeal. Hopefully you're not even going through an ordeal, but praying throughout whatever it is you feel you need to pray with it throughout. Now, what I mean is, say you're job hunting. Pray over that resume. Pray over the person who picks the resume. Pray over the people
mm-hmm.
who are going to make the phone call. Pray over the emails that you send out. Pray over yourself. But you want to, you know, ask the entire universe to be receptive to this change that you are asking for. And then I believe that there is sacrifice, or else it wouldn't be in the Bible. It wouldn't be in
yes.
places of holy literature. So
yes.
sacrificing something of yourself is also a way of protecting, because I know I'm just a small little thing here on this planet having this human experience, but just by doing that, it's just like it will definitely put you in a place where your Most High knows you are serious about what's
yes.
going on. So even fasting, in my example, is a sacrifice. So if you don't
yes,
want to use
is.
That word, it's fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be
mm-hmm.
something that you love, that you don't want to give up, that you're really going to find hard to give up. And it might seem silly to somebody else, but it's that struggle for you. So that's
yes.
my 2-3 cents. Stay safe. Love you. Don't forget me.
Love you too. Oh, no. You're already in the mail. Gotcha.
Okay.
Awesome. But look, you, Sister Melissa, you are really, really kind of popping your collar, okay? Really. And I know any and everybody that can hear me knows what I'm talking about. You are doing your homework. And you're applying it. I'm telling you, whenever it comes to ancestral blessings and the one that gets the kudos, Sister Melissa is it. Why? Because she pays attention. Because she's earnest in her studies. Because she is, and I'll say it, she's willing to be open and vulnerable and fight through it. And sometimes it's a fight. I mean, sometimes we are fighting. But it's such a respected encounter, you know? So, Sister Melissa, I really appreciate all that you brought to this table tonight, because everything that you said, I am in 100% agreeance on. down from the crystals, and we're going to talk about crystals and how to clean them and how to work with them, how to recognize them, to what I call the numeral deuce. You know, there's one, there's two. But you said that second one about the importance of spiritual protection. And so, you know, I just want to, you know, kind of take my hat off to you and really recognize your growth and your continued openness to sharing with others. So I appreciate you. I really do. Okay, so we got the 1-2 punch, okay? These are the things that's going to help us with the spiritual protection. The first thing that we need when it comes to our spiritual protection is prayer. Pray out loud. Pray in your house. Pray so your children can hear you. Pray so the negativity that thinks that you don't know is there can hear you. Pray so that your own ears can hear what you're saying and you can build and you can grow from there. Pray. The first way of spiritually protecting your family is to make prayer in your home. Wake up with prayer. Wake up with thoughts of things. So spiritual protection, first thing, prayer. Second thing, and this is going to sound a little cliche-ish, okay, but work with me. The second thing we have to do when we are spiritually protecting our family is stopping the negativity before it starts. I don't know how you can go and fuss and cuss and yell and act a donkey and then go pray in that same air that you just polluted with that negativity. I don't know how that works. I don't know how you can use your mouth for negative things and then turn around and think that that same mouth is going to be worthy of making prayer going to the Most High. Not the spirit around the corner, because they listening. The Most High, I don't believe that those two work in conjunction. And just like we spoke about last week, anything that I give to God, I give the absolute best that I can. But I don't really know God's schedule. I don't. I don't know when he's listening. So I'm not going to have foulness come out my mouth, be around me. No. You can't be foul around me because I don't know when God's going to be listening and paying attention to me. I'm not even talking about me. I'm talking about some. No, you can't be foul around me. I'm sorry. Because I don't know when God is going to have this encounter with me, and I don't want to be sullied in the least. I don't want to have anything negative around me. This is why we have to keep, you know, this. I can't listen to rap music. I'm so disappointed. I'm disappointed in rap music, not in my ability. I can't listen to it. I'm mad that I can't listen to 2-3 good sentences before it goes all the way left. I said, oh, no. I can't do that. I'm sorry. I can't be listening for Spirit and listening for, you know, T.I. You know, I just can't. It's a conflict. Okay, I can't sit back and hate on this one, that one, and that one. Say negative things, do negative things, be just playing in the mud, and then turn around and think that my high and mighty words have any meaning at that point. So we have to really, really, you know, number one, prayer. Got to get that prayer in. Got to be serious. Praise God from which all blessings flow. This is a mantra that was created by Iamonife. I think is about 90. Little old Oshun woman. Little old thing. Oh, my God. Has had more jewels, wealth, men. I mean, Ei gets what she wants, okay? And she came up with this mantra because she said, people always talk about they don't have time to pray. They don't, you know, they don't know prayer. They don't do, and Eon wanted, she's nice. I'll give you a book. You don't know how to pray? Oh, that's all right. I wrote a book about it. Here you go. But no, Eon's like, okay, I'm going to come up with something. I'm sorry, Spirit's over here fussing. But, you know, Eon's like, I'm going to come up with something easy. Praise God from which all blessings flow. Praise God from which, and I say this all the time. The second I heard it, I was like, yo, how wonderful. Praise God from which all blessings flow. Get that prayer flowing all the time. Praise God. Praise God. Second thing, though, I think they're in conjunction. I don't think you can have this praise and still be negative. So we got to stop the negativity. Guess what? If someone's fighting with you and you're listening, you're participating. If someone is being negative around you and you are not trying to convince them of otherwise, you're participating. Don't get caught participating in other people's negativity. Because negativity is like dust that comes in on your shoes. You know what I'm saying? So as you're walking in your house, even if that was over yonder, that was over at the barbershop talking all kinds of junk, when you walk back home, it's an energy is following you. So I'm going to really, really stress the importance. Stop participating in a negativity. Learn what precision of language really means. Once you get past the cuss words, you're going to be like, this chick was not even talking about the cuss words. Nope. I'm talking about being precise in your language. What do you want? I'm talking about being precise in your intention. What did you mean? And is that necessary at this moment? So, you know, stopping the negativity is just as important as the prayer part. All right? One thing that, if you'd like to join the conversation, all you have to do is press 1. We're talking about spiritually protecting your family. And we're going to get into some of the techniques. How do I do it? No, Mama 7. I need to know like A, B, and C. How do I do it? Got you. We're going to get to that. One thing Spirit asked of me in this show was to focus on the children. I need people to understand that just because they are children does not mean that things don't mean a lot in their life. You know what I'm saying? We spend time thinking about big things, what the bills, the car note, you know. We think, oh, man, just because Johnny won't play with you at school doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to us. It might mean everything to them. You know, we have more and more children actually trying to hurt themselves because their world is so small. They don't know how to handle this negativity. So we have to start teaching our children how to pray. We have to teach them. How do we teach children how to pray? They're like, oh, they can't remember. They remember all the rap songs. They remember how to play video games. I don't know if you've played a video game recently. They have about 5 or 6 moving pieces. It jumps A, A, B, side, slash, up, down. They're doing a whole lot. They can come up with a prayer, okay? Even if they're just saying, having a conversation with God, we have to start teaching them how to pray. What's the easiest way to teach them how to pray? Let them catch you praying a time or two. Oh, they're going to want to do that. Oh, this is what mommy does? Oh, this is what I got to do. Oh, this is how daddy prays? Oh, definitely. I'm all in. So we have to start teaching our children how to protect themselves spiritually. We have to let them know really that they are precious. And then we have to give them tools. Me, I have to make sure we don't do a lot of loud volumes in the house. We don't even let the energy get that revved up, okay? We have to make sure we're not listening to negative music. Unfortunately, all music just about now is negative. You got to listen. You have to protect yourself against that. Some of these TV shows are so horrible and gruesome and graphic. You have to protect your children from videos How about this? I was so heartbroken, just broken, when I made it a point not to watch the George Floyd video. I read it. I saw a horrible picture. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to digest anymore. I have enough to go on. I'm just going to work from here. And I was really, really heartbroken when the very next day I went to sit my 14-year-old down and say, look, we need to have a real conversation. He was like, yeah, I saw the video. And, oh, I was just heartbroken because the negativity that he witnessed, he can't unwitness. The absolute horror of that moment, he can't unparticipate in. So I wanted to have a conversation about ways to be aware of your surroundings, ways to be protective, ways to manage yourself around other people. I wanted to have a different kind of conversation, but now I have this negativity in place. So when it comes to protecting the house, protecting the children is almost like having a weak screen door. You know, that thing will flap like the wind. We have to make sure that we're doing everything that we can when it comes to watching ourselves and watching our language is also watching the children. And one way to do that is to watch your own self because all they are is little tape recorders. Look, do they have tape recorders anymore? They're little video recorders, okay? They're little video recorders. They're constantly watching everything we do. And they're not going to do what we say. They're going to do what we do. So let's start there. That's simple, simple, simple. Look, we're going to go to the phone lines. I love having callers call in. We're going to grab a phone line, and we're talking about spiritually protecting the family. Love to hear more about tools, techniques, things that work, things that don't work. Let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hey, greetings. Great
greetings,
show.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Brother Ibrahim,
greetings.
How are you?
Yes, I'm good. How about you?
Good, good. Hey, would you like to share with us a precision of language understanding?
I could, but I was really talking about to make a comment, like what you said about the whole prayer and the children, and I so totally
yes.
agree. One of the things I like to add to about the importance of prayer and with the children is about, you know, structure. I like the fact that the fact that you had taken prayer so far that you had classes for the children. You know, and my son was privileged enough to sit one of the classes that you take it. And sometimes I think we do take that for granted. Absolutely. They should see us do it. But take the time, I think, too many times, especially us parents that have rituals we practice, some call it religion or whatever, we take for granted that our children will just grow up like osmosis type thing. They're just going to grow up and they're going to get it. They may get the rituals. They may even emulate. But why I found the classes, your classes, so interesting, and being that the house was diverse, you know, background and of understandings was it didn't just go into how to pray, but the various prayers, the class, what do we have, Islamic prayers and Christian prayers, the various prayers, the need for prayer, the whole thing, and then even where the discussion went into their concept of God, which affects your prayer, you know, because a lot of times the children have the gods of their fathers and mothers and don't have a personal relationship themselves with God, which will affect any type of conversation you're trying to have with anything. So I think that a structured class, when I had got to see a witness, because when you first was like, doing, I was like, I'm going to have prayer class. I'm like, what is a prayer class? How do you have a class in prayer? You know, but then when I saw it, I really saw the need for us to begin to have structure in our children's life and not take for granted that they're just going to pick up or understand the concepts or grasp the perceptions or the inspiration and motivation that we want these rituals, prayer, anything to have for them without trying to give them an understanding of it. So I said all that to say in a nutshell, classes, instructions, institutionalized, structured classes, instructions I've seen go a long way. So taking time once a week, twice a week. I forgot what day it was, actually, seven, but, you know, once a week.
Wednesday,
right. Once a week, mm-hmm. one day a week, take that out and have a prayer class, a really structured prayer class. And I think mm-hmm. that you'd be surprised how much the children will retain and how far they will aid them in really establishing a prayer life for themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. You know, I have classes all the time about everything. If you have been in a wonderful approach for 2 months and you ain't had no class, you need to call me, okay? Because I do classes. And that's because a lot of times it's not the understanding is not always clear. You know, if you've made it to, you know, 25 and without a church home or without prayer in the house, it may really be foreign to you. And so I am willing to take it to that point. Let's start at the beginning. Also, if you've had a shaky relationship with prayer, you know, if you didn't feel it before, you may not be jumping up and down to get to the prayer. So, you know, this is why we have to start at A. You know, let's start at the beginning and work our way up and build that muscle. Any muscle you want to work on and develop gets stronger with practice and with use. But you got to get started, you know? So thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us.
You're so welcome.
Absolutely. You know, as Brother Ibrahim was speaking, I went to thinking about the playroom in church. I remember, you know, I like holiness churches, okay? I like the kind of churches that you need to stretch before you go in. Because we're about to run around the church. We're going to do all kind of, I love holiness churches. I do. My conservative son, Solomon, does not. Mr. Conservative is like, I mean, this is super embarrassing. I don't know what you people are talking about. You're talking in tongues. There's a lot going on. But I remember when, you know, all the kids get up after prayer and they can go into the kid room. And he was like, no, I'll stay. And I looked at him. I was like, you sure? You know, because we have already stretched, okay? Praise and worship got us ready. So are you sure you want to stay? And he was like, yeah, I'm ready to stay with the adults. And so oftentimes we are pushing the kids to a comfortable place or just somewhere. When it comes to prayer, there has to be a moment, even if you do it in an age-appropriate fashion, they still need the prayer. They still need it. So more than just coloring pictures of Jesus and more than just that, you know, we have our red, black, and green, you got your aunts. More than that, we have to really get to the point where they understand this right here is God's house and this is God's time. And we're trying to put this in place. And so that helps to give them that understanding as to really why we're here. So we can't get too, you know, I love the kid rooms and especially the baby rooms, and that's wonderful. But we have to also let them know you're not just here to play, you know, we're here to praise God. That's what this time is for. And that can start as young as they can start walking and talking. They don't even have to be able to formulate good sentences. You can put your hands together and bow your head. So there you go. Pray. Super important. You know, this is what holds the families together. Understanding prayer and the importance will allow the family to exist even when we don't want to exist. It demands peace. When you don't want to be peaceful, it puts everything in perspective. When we can put God in perspective. So, you know, we have to start doing that in between the life part. Because life is coming, I promise you. Irritation is, oh, my God. Irritation? Lord. You know, it is coming. But we have to make sure that we have a good answer for it. And that is God. That is knowing yourself and knowing that you're not going to allow any and every little thing to irritate you. My goodness, you don't have no more no more hold the net. You know, the devil come and blow on you and you want to fall out. So, you know, we really have to just make the decision what kind of people you're going to be. Who are you going to be? If you're going to be a positive, open vessel for God, you got to keep that vessel clean. Because if you have particles in your vessel, when God's word comes in there, it becomes mixed and you can't even tell God's word from your dirty vessel. And that, the visual I just got on that, I'm still sitting here blinking, okay? Listen to me. If God has given you a message, but you yourself are not clean and not prepared to handle that message, you will muddy the message. The message takes on the form of the vessel. So I am very female. The messages that come to me and through me, I promise you, when they come out of my mouth, they're going to come out in my female voice. Because that is the vessel that it has formed in. That is the perspective that is going to flow. Make sure your vessel is truly ready to handle the message and not strictly constricted, restricted, sullied, and dirtied by your vessel. So it's just something we got to think about. And for I am blessed beyond measure to be heading this group of leaders. I have about 6 ministries. Some of them don't know yet, but I got about 6 ministries that are listening, that are allowing themselves to be molded and shaped. So when I say these words, I'm speaking to the heads of the heads, okay? We have to be very cautious not to allow our own vessel and any contents within to get to the point where God's message becomes almost diluted by what we have in our vessel. Because if you have some bitterness in your vessel, I promise you that water is going to taste a little off. If you have jealousy and envy sitting in your vessel, is not going to taste good. No one wants to drink that. As we go forward, we're talking about protecting the family. What about protecting ourselves? What about protecting the vessel that God has created us to be? What about protecting God's word? You know, this gets so deep when we allow it to. Now, if you want, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you the recipe. We're going to talk about sage. We're talking about how to handle the crystals. We're going to talk about all that. But really, I want people to take it a step further and understand that we have to protect everything about ourselves. So there's not an on and off switch that we can say, okay, now's the time. Okay, it's Sunday. Now's the time. No. God was still with you Saturday night. And your activity Saturday night do directly impact your Sunday morning. So we got to stop and be very honest about these things, okay? All right, I'm going to stay with my phone lines because my phone lines is deep. Love it. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mama 7. How are you?
I am good for the second time today, Sister Faith.
I love this topic. You know, because I come from a family and a background that's full of spirituality.
Amen.
My children don't know what not worshiping God is. They don't know
Amen.
What that means. What do you mean? What do you don't believe in nothing? And there is, you know, a confusion. And yeah. I see Joshua, he's very much like Solomon in that way, very conservative. He always hated going to church. He hated to hear the one lady get on the microphone and start shouting. oh my right. goodness, why is she up there? What is she talking about? Get me out of here. But you talked about the children's room. And at one point, my ministry was the children. And so because of that, I had the opportunity not only with my children, and we do it at home as well, but not only with my children, I got the opportunity to share with other people's children who God was and who God is and who God can be in their lives.
Amen.
And so, you know, when we have people who are willing to teach our children, not every children's church is a playtime. No, it doesn't always happen this way. Sometimes these children are actually going to be educated, and they're going to be walking away with an expectation of you. They're expecting what they heard from Sister So-and-so to be evident in their household.
Where's the backup?
And they're going to hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to hold you to a higher level. So, you know, I think about that, and I think about how Deja walked in my shadow for so many years. But she held me to a standard. There was no way that I could go off and curse out the man at McDonald's when I used to eat McDonald's. With her, because she was in my shadow, not when I told her that you have to treat everyone the way you want to be treated. But I'm not going to go too far in that. So it's about our example in leading them in a direction that they should go. So in the time of trouble, they know how to pray. When Deja was about 12 or 13, she went away to camp, and there was an earthquake at the campground. And there's other children who were older than her who said, Deja, pray. So I know into them that they're going to use it.
Yeah.
But we have to identify these gifts in our children. We have to be willing to feed their gifts and their abilities and pour into that. So we can't get caught up in the phone bill, the light bill, the car bill is due. So-and-so says such and such about me. I want to go buy this. I want to go travel here. We have to take the time out to pay attention to what our children are saying, doing, and being. You know, when I think about the music, it's amazing because I like the wrong kind of music. If I'm doing certain, I do. It's terrible, you know, but I do. But I have caught my youngest child listening to classical music. She listens to show tunes most of the time. So she's not listening to what all the other little girls are listening to. She's taking the time out to learn something new. And so, you know, and my son, he has a very eclectic taste as well. But we have to, when you said being mindful of these things, they know on Wednesdays, Mama's in there praying.
That's right.
They see me praying. They know I'm praying. They hear it. They smell it. They know it's prayer time. But also Sunday morning, they know it's prayer time. This is a special prayer. These things are happening for a particular reason. But throughout the week, they know if I'm sitting at my work at home now, I know I'm talking and I'm going to get off. If I'm sitting at the computer, praise and worship happens anytime.
That's right.
It doesn't stop. Talking to God and giving thanks and praise doesn't stop. So when you talk about protecting your household and when we talk about protecting the family and precision of language, you know, is a real thing. It's a real thing because you know, you get to a point where you're like, oh, I did say that out of my mouth. Why did I say that? I'm sorry. You know, I had to learn how to apologize immediately and to my children. I'm so sorry you saw me fall. That wasn't intentional. And let me explain to you why I'm wrong. You know, we have to be honest with our kids because they are watching and they will do what we do more than they do what we say.
Yes. You got to learn that. You got to get that. Sister Faith, thank you so much for sharing. You brought about some honest wonderful points. So, and I appreciate your assistance this morning. I swear I was about 45 minutes late to get into where I had to get to, but I had to get all of that praise out. I had to get singing out. I had to go. I mean, Spirit Woke was on my tail early in the morning. So I greatly appreciate your assistance and such, okay?
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
You know, one thing that she said, that Sister Faye said, and I know for my own self, is when you've had the opportunity to work with other people's children, the blessing is so real. You know, part of spiritually protecting your family is having your children around good people. Because I'm transparent, unfortunately, the people around me get their stuff all out too. I don't care. But when it comes to working with other people's children, I got to shout out and share and talk about my dear sister Makita. I have two boys. Sister Makita has two girls. I love them both. It means a lot to me to have this relationship that I have with them. And I remember when I started, because you can fall in love with other people's children, because I've done it, I probably will end up doing it again. But when you love somebody's child, I had to speak with her and be like, look, sister, look, I know this is your child. I know you spit her out, but oh my goodness. Can I please help you parent this child? And this grown child now, she's grown. But it meant so much, means so much to me to be able to spend this time with her and to add to her knowledge as a young woman, to help build her, to help my fellow sister in that struggle of working with children and being part of that family and everything else like that. So part of spiritually protecting your family is having them around good people. It's so important. Our village is, you know, I know how old, I know everyone that has the children, Solomon's age. I know everybody that got children, Talib's age. I know all the children. I think I got half the birthdays, but I know around when the birthdays are. How about this? I can tell all four apprentices' children apart. So if you can get to that point, you know, you're pretty good. But when you get to participate in the child rearing with someone, it is such a blessing. And I really encourage all parents, if you have someone, male, female, old or young, that wants to interact positively with your child and is going to be a positive thing, please be open-minded to it. Back in the day, this is what we did. When we said it took a village, we weren't just talking about grandma and grandpa. We were talking about every auntie. We're talking about every uncle, because everyone has something different to contribute to the children. And so, you know, I have two sisters that we're so different from each other. We'd be looking at our own birth certificate to try to verify, are you sure we're biologically related? But yet my sons, when they're with their aunties, it's a whole different experience. Totally, and I'm like, okay. So I like the fact that they get to see and experience something that they would not with me. I love the idea of having the men of the community. You know, I tell the boys all the time, go over there and shake his hand and stand up on him, like, you know, let him know how big you are, boy. Go on over there. And they're like, oh, my God. And so whenever out in the community, there I see my boys out there shaking hands, and I'm like, yes, yes, because that's part of creating good practices. That's part of providing protection. I'm not going to let the negativity start. Do you know how confusing it is for a child where we at home praying all day, but we're going to go and hang out at the local club at night? that's confusing. It's really confusing. How in the world, you know, I talk about the barbershop, the menfolk in the barbershop. We know what kind of language is at the barbershop. We know what y'all talk about. Y'all, it's not no secret. We know. At the same time, we can't have young, impressionable children thinking that that's life and you're not showing them anything else. So, you know, again, Spirit wanted me really to harp on the children, harp on spiritually protecting them. How do we spiritually protect children? One, we give them large doses of prayer. They need it. They need it. We give them, we stop the negativity. Look, can't be fighting and stuff at the house with the kids. We can't. Don't let fighting and arguing and cussing be a part of their norm. Don't let that be a part of Friday night. Every Friday night, mom and dad get in there cutting. No, no. We have other things that we want to make the norm. Prayer, positivity, healthy things, hanging out, skating, bowling, whatever, but not negative things. We have to get to the point where we can raise the children in environments where they don't even know what those negative things are. They don't have to know. They don't have to be exposed to all of that. So really, really, I don't know who this show is for, but it was so important that we spend time teaching and understanding how important it is to protect your family, okay? Keep the chaos down. Keep the prayers up. One thing I want to talk about, the smudgings. I smoke out my house once a week. That's a lot, but I do a lot of readings. I do a lot of counseling. I'm working in the house. So I'm in the house, like many of us are in the house now. And let's say if you're a nurse and you're dealing with sickness, you need to clean yourself before you go and take this sickness that you, this energy, because don't forget, we're talking about an energy. Energy comes through vibrations. Vibrations are on the phone. You 100% can be absorbing all of that. So if you're dealing with this sickness, and you're not cleaning yourself, you're not cleaning your work area, you're not smudging the house, basically you're taking that energy and you're just rubbing it all over your house. Don't think that this work-at-home thing is all that great and convenient. It's not. We still have to protect against, okay? I work behavior health, okay? I work with the mind and those not closely attached to it. I cannot have that running around my house. So, yeah, I keep my smoke pot real close. We spend a lot of time. Spiritual baths. My boys, they call it the sticks and twigs. He said, well, where are the sticks and twigs, Mom? You know, every time Solomon comes home from school, you know, I'm a bath short. I'm noticing I'm a book short. I'm like, well, are you losing the books? He said, no. You know, my friend took the book. They said they're going to give it back. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. Because if your friend is accidentally reading it and you keep having friends accidentally read it, then you're doing your job. I need to supply you a couple of books, okay? So spiritual baths, they don't take that long. They are actually very refreshing. They're wonderful tools to use. Use your tools. Florida water, your holy water. I love it. I'm looking at my bottle right here. I have actually a wonderful approach.com. I have homemade Florida water. I feel very special. So I keep that over by my reading table. So when I'm doing my readings, you know, I have my Florida water that I'm constantly using to cleanse, to clear, to refresh, to make sure that there aren't any misunderstandings, misinterpretations, miss nothing. So I keep my Florida water very close. But consecrated water, I had a sister tell me, look, I had got some olive oil and prayed over. I said, oh, you old school. Go ahead now. I don't care what you use. It is the intention that you're using that gives it all the power that it needs. So even that the old school, I tell you, I like holiness churches, and so the old school olive oil where they're praying over it, they're blessing it, you're anointing yourself, the door, the no matter what, that's spiritually protect. That's creating spiritual protection. It is late, but I'm going to take a call. And I like callers, and I don't ever want people to just wait. Greetings, welcome to the show.
Howdy, it's Brandon.
Hi, Brandon. How you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to, I guess, share from a child who grew up in a house with a mother who wanted to impart in her children the spiritual aspects.
We love to hear
as far as like church and all that good mm-hmm. stuff. As a male child as well, I remember waking up out of my sleep from my mom anointing us and touching our feet
mm-hmm.
and praying. I thought
mm-hmm.
it was strange growing up. You know how we
mm-hmm.
we do growing up. But I learned to actually appreciate it when I went through my little prodigal son phase that I'm coming out of now. Actually, those prayers and remembering that is what kept me from going all the way under. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to encourage the mothers and fathers out there that maybe not doing it or who are doing it, keep doing it, because we as children, the older we get, we learn to appreciate that and value that. And my mom,
mm-hmm.
I honor her because of that right there. Like I said, I
mm-hmm.
remember being like your son, Mom, why you got to be so loud with all that clapping and praying and praising and stuff? But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, wow, like I found myself doing it. And it's
yes.
Sister Faith said, our children are an example. Children see the parents as an example. And I'm following in my mom's example growing up. And I, I don't know the word right now, but with like to see more men doing this so the young men will have an example to look up to as well.
Amen.
The sisters, the women, our women have always been spiritual with the family and stuff like that and imparting that into the children. But it's time for like the men, us men and us brothers to start doing that and being an example for the young boys and the young teenage men, the men
Absolutely.
To be an example for that women aren't the only ones supposed to pray. Women aren't the only ones supposed to praise God. Men are supposed to praise God. Men are supposed to pray as well. David danced out of his clothes when they came back with the Ark of the Tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
praising God. So it's not something that only the women did. The warriors in the Bible all praised and prayed God, praised and prayed to God. So I just wanted to
mm-hmm.
share that. And I appreciate the radio show today. It's rather dope.
Amen.
Just a note or
extension. Amen.
Thank you.
Super awesome. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing. Yeah, you just said
a whole bunch
of words right there, Brandon. You really did. That prodigal son is that's like ingrained in me. That story is so powerful to me. And I'm into lessons, you know, so I listen to the Bible stories and I listen to the Hadiths and the Patakis, and I love to hear kind of the morals of the stories. And so coming out of that story means that you're coming into an understanding of lessons, you're coming into an understanding of maturities and things like that. So, you know, please continue on that journey. Continue to come out of it, you know, because it took that son a second to really turn himself around. He had to hit a low, to where he was sleeping and eating with the pigs before he decided, no, I got to go home. And so, and really to be able to go home humbly. And so that is such an important lesson. If you talk about men and spirituality, really, the Bible is full of stories of men. There's a woman in there or two, you know, but men really dominate that book. Same with Islam. There's so much stories about the men, the stories about the prophet, the stories about how the men do this and how the men do that. But yet, religiously and spiritually speaking, we don't get to see that ratio right about now. We're missing that. And it is at a wonderful approach. Not only do we recognize that men have the potential to be just as strong spiritual beings as women, we leave space for it. And it's important that we leave space for it. It's important that we have the opportunity for men to come in and to be help, to be leaders. We understand we have men almost on every level now that are looking for more guidance, more understanding, and doing it from a male perspective. Most men have a strong woman in their life, whether mother, grandmother, auntie, there was a strong woman that held it down. But we don't, not every person, especially every man or male, have that strong father figure. We don't have that as a guarantee. And so absolutely it is needed. And it's something that we allow for, we leave space for, we encourage, you know, we shout up and down when we see it, because it does have a value. And so we're leaving that space open. Something I want also, something you said, Brandon, which is a great way to move into prayer and everything else like that, is parents, and I have to write this down, your prayers are never in vain. Never. As long as you have breath, your prayers make a difference in this child's life. They don't have to listen right now. In fact, they may be closing their eyes tighter, trying not to see and hear what you're talking about. That doesn't mean they're not hearing you. It doesn't mean they don't see. It doesn't mean they don't feel. Your prayers are never in vain. God works miracles. So why in the world would you think that this issue or this challenge that your child is going through or may go through in the future is going to be too big where prayer can't help them? I have to tell people I'm prayed up, okay? I got situations going on in my life. I'm like, look, I'm just going to put some extra prayer on it because that's who I am and that's what I do. I'm just going to hope and pray that everything comes about. But your prayers are never in vain. And those prayers you have for your children, those prayers you have for your parents, those are special. Those come from a very selfless place. And so we have to begin to understand you don't have to get it why your child doing this or doing that. Just make the prayer anyways. I will never forget, Tom is a great driver, love it. The second I got all that praying done, got all my shrines turned over, everything's clean, all the candles built, that phone call, heart drop. And all I could do is be thankful that I had made my prayers, because I know that little ticket could have been a whole lot worse. Could have been a whole nother conversation. So like we said earlier, praise God from which all blessings flow. Just keep praying. You don't have to know why. You don't have to see it. Know that those prayers for protection, those prayers for mental strength, physical strength, emotional strength, make sure that you're putting those in, because that's what's going to save you. And it may not look like they're paying attention now. Trust me, they are. In that story, if he does half of that for his children, just add, hey, look, I did this because my mother taught me this. This becomes tradition. We break in generational curses. Don't get me started. I'm not going to talk about generational curses. But, you know, all I'm saying is when you can multiply the efforts that your ancestors have already put in place, we're talking about spiritually protecting your family for generations to come at that point. You know, we always talk about generational wealth and, you know, we want residual income. What about some residual prayers, okay? What about some residual healing? Can this healing flow forward and backwards? So when it comes to spiritually protecting your family, You can't just think about yourself. You can't just think about right here, right now, because we're not going to stay in this moment. This moment has already changed. So we have to be praying just for the protection, just for the love, just for the energy. We have to just put that out there, okay? Along with the praying, the baths, the spiritual water, crystals. I love crystals. I like crystals because they're pretty. I don't understand all of them. I don't. There's so many, and they have different purposes, and you can charge them and ask them to work on this behalf. So part of the solution is getting your crystals together. When we were doing the baptisms in South Carolina, there's a little pouch, I believe it belonged to Nandy. It has some beautiful crystals in a little yellow pouch. And I was like, you know, whose pouch is this? And she's like, oh, yeah, that's mine. Beautiful. Just a little, I'm telling you, is 1-inch by 1-inch pouch of crystals just to keep close to you, to remind you, to keep you in good standing. So that kind of stuff. Sister Melissa said some words about that fasting. I'm rolling my eyes as this fast day is quickly coming to an end for me. But that fasting to me is so very important because to me it makes the work personal at that point. It makes the effort personal, okay? And I like to fast for a reason. You know, like, God, you know I'm looking for this miracle in my life. I know you can bring it about. I have full faith that when it is time, you will bless me with this. But to show you that I'm in a preparation mode for it, I'm going to fast on this day for this reason, you know. And when I do that, I get results. Because this is not a matter of me purchasing a sacrifice. It's not a matter of me, you know, just being lackadaisical. For me to fast, I mean, these fast days are long. So during the summertime, in the middle of the summer, you know, it seemed like those fast days were going until an easy 9 o'clock. And so it's a lot of energy and it takes a lot of effort to do it. But I have seen the blessings come forward when I do. So I always want to make sure that I put that fasting in place because that's one thing I can control. That's one thing I can do. You know, when I don't, sometimes, and some people, we're in the middle of some financial difficulties, right? That doesn't mean that you don't have anything. In fact, usually when I'm having financial difficulties, that's when I get the most creative about what I have for offerings. You know, so I may not have money to make a donation here or a donation there. Those are the times I put my time in. Well, can I come by and help? Can I check on this? Can I check on that? You know, when times are tight, you know, this is when my offerings, I got to go outside and play with the ducks a little bit, you know. You have to get creative. But do it, because when you are giving offerings or when you are making offerings from your heart and from a sincere place, God loves that. Now, if you go into the store, buy something, and just kind of like, there it goes, yeah, that's not the best. You know, when I go into the grocery store, I don't come out with a Hot Pocket, okay? You don't just stick it in a toaster oven, there it goes. I come home with rice. Rice, beans, onions, you know, you got to cook this thing. You got to put it together. You got to put some time in, some love into it. That food tastes so good, and it's half the cost. That's the thing that be killing me. I'm like, man, half the cost, I'm giving you twice the food? That's, how awesome is that? So when it comes to spiritually protecting your family, don't think that you have to have money to do that. You just have to have a good heart, good intentions. You just have to make your prayers out loud. You have to be consistent and keep that negativity out, kick it out, Don't do it. Don't participate. Not at all. Stones, fasting, prayers. And knowing your prayers are not in vain is such an important point. They're never in vain. They're never in vain. And your children, whether you are speaking with your children, someone else's children, the community children, whoever you're working with, act as if God is listening at that very moment. What would you like God to witness you saying at that very moment? And because I'm talking to my heads of state, I got heads of heads here. When you are working with people, we're talking about spiritual protection. We're talking about one of the first layers that you give to somebody. Please be compassionate about where this person is, okay? We have to make sure that when we see people, we truly see where they are coming from. You know, it takes a lot. Be patient with them babies, you know. I don't know how to pray. And when I say babies, I'm not talking about just children. I'm talking about anyone who may be new to spirituality. And the reason why I call them the babies is because they are to be treated gently. They are to be protected. You know, those are the ones that you hold close. Okay? Now, when they start walking and talking and chewing on stuff, those are my toddlers, okay? We keep them in a protected zone, but it's not like they have to sit on your lap. Babies, they got to sit on your lap. So when you're talking about spiritually guiding people, spiritually working with people, make sure that you leave them with a prayer. Pray with them. Make sure they know, though, no matter where you've been, you can come. God is ready for you. Because as we're building that relationship with God, that is going to help us be able to fend off the negativity. That's one of the only things. Because without that relationship to God, without that relationship to something clean, it's hard to even recognize that you're dirty sometimes. And that's a real point. If you have been raised to be dirty, it's hard for you to recognize that you are carrying on some of those same traits. If you've been playing out in this world, off the beam, off your spiritual path, and it's hard to remember sometimes where the path is, where it even was. You can be so lost you can't even tell up from down. All I'm asking is that for my beacons of light, be compassionate. Be compassionate. Understand everybody doesn't have the full benefit of the things that we have had benefit to. So I just want to add that as we walk it into our prayer portion. Okay. And we're going to be getting back to our co-host because I miss my co-host. I'd like to have some co-hosts. So all my people that I have reached out to, you got the text message? Don't make me have to call you, no. But we're going to be getting back to our co-host. But I appreciate all of the lovely callers that call in and really give us those insights and those points of view that help us to be able to shape what we're thinking about and shape the things that are going on in a conversation. And for those that will listen to these programs long after tonight, just understand that your contribution was part of, you know, their growth, their development. So I appreciate everyone for doing that. We always end the show with a prayer because when you put God in it, you are elevating it, okay, no matter what it is, okay? This is why when we pray before we eat, we pray before we sleep, we pray, we have these different intervals because it's important that we have protection with us and on us and around us all the time in different aspects and the different things that we do. So we always end the show with prayer. It is my favorite part of the show. This particular prayer, this is coming out of my little handy notebook of prayers, the little book I took I wrote to jot down some prayers, some words of wisdom that have meant something to me, okay? And this particular prayer is part of the breaker bath. This prayer, it speaks about removing negativity. And I know there was a time in my life where I said this prayer every day, all day. And things changed for the positive in my life. And so then I added it to the breaker, and it is explosive. I've had, you know, the breaker, hopefully that's something that you'll only need once or twice in your life. That's how powerful this breaker prayer is. So when we're talking about spiritually protecting your family, I wanted to go back to the spiritual tools and protection tools we have in place. So the breaker prayer goes as such. I employ this breaker to remove the negativity from my spirit, my soul, my core, my orin, my aura. I employ this breaker to begin to remove the negativity from my spouse, my children, my immediate family, my extended family, my ancestral family, my spiritual family, my spirit guides, and spirit loved ones. Breaker to remove the negativity from my gender, my race, my species. Amen. If you want to, everyone should have this little handy notebook of prayers. But if you want, if you don't have the book and you want this prayer, text me and I will get this to you so that we can begin to have that negativity get uncomfortable around us from our prayers, from our actions, from our words, from the people that we choose to be around, the things that we choose to participate in. I ask that everyone pay close attention to the things that are in your home, in your ear, things that are impressing your soul, and things that are causing a reaction within you. If you're having a conversation, you're getting heated, please stop. Please stop. Let that go. Let the negativity go, so we can all have better, easier lives. For all those that are in the path of Sally, please be safe. May God watch over you. Good night. Amen.